Hawthorn's Green, which is opposite. When it pulls away again, I see Meg on the far side of the road. She's dressed in her stretch jeans and a baggy sweater, and carrying a colourful three-wheeled scooter. Lachlan must have insisted on riding to his preschool, which would have slowed her down. He'll also have stopped to look at the ducks, and at the exercise class, and at the old people doing Tai Chi, who move so slowly they could almost be stop-motion puppets. Meg doesn't appear pregnant from this angle. It's only when she turns side-on that the bump becomes a basketball, neat and round, getting lower by the day. I heard her complaining last week about swollen ankles and a sore back. I know how she feels. My extra pounds have turned climbing stairs into a workout, and my bladder is the size of a walnut. Glancing both ways, she crosses Church Road and mouths the word "sorry" to her friends, double-kissing their cheeks and cooing at their babies. All babies are cute, people say, and I guess that's true. I have peered into prams at golem-like creatures with sticky-out eyes and two strands of hair, yet always found something to love, because they're so newly minted and innocent. I'm supposed to be stacking the shelves in aisle three. This part of the supermarket is usually a safe place to skive, because the manager, Mr. Patel, has a problem with feminine hygiene products. He won't use words like tampons or sanitary pads, calling them ladies' things, or simply pointing to the boxes that he wants unpacked. I work 4 days a week, early mornings to three, unless one of the other part-timers calls in sick. Mostly I stack shelves and sticker prices. Mr. Patel won't let me work the cash register because he says I break things. That happened one time and it wasn't my fault. With a name like Mr. Patel, I thought he'd be Pakistani or Indian, but he turned out to be Welsher than a daffodil, with a shock of red hair and a truncated moustache that makes him look like Adolf Hitler's ginger love child. Mr. Patel doesn't like me very much, and he's been itching to get rid of me ever since I told him I was pregnant.
Don't expect any maternity leave, you're not full-time.
I don't expect any.
And doctor's appointments are on your own time.
Sure.
And if you can't lift boxes, you'll have to stop working.
I can lift boxes. Mr. Patel has a wife and four kids at home, but it hasn't made him any more sympathetic to my pregnancy. I don't think he likes women very much. I don't mean he's gay. When I first started working at the supermarket, he was all over me like a rash, finding any excuse to brush up against me in the storeroom or when I was mopping the floor.
"Oops," he'd say, pressing his hard-on against my buttocks. "Just parking my bike."
Pervert. I go back to my stock trolley and pick up the price gun, careful to check the settings. Last week I put the wrong price on the canned peaches, and Mr. Patel docked me £8.
"What are you doing?" barks a voice.
Mr. Patel has crept up behind me. "Restocking the tampons," I stutter.
"He was staring out the window. Your forehead made that greasy mark on the glass."
"No, Mr. Patel."
"Do I pay you to daydream?"
"No, sir." I point to the shelf. "We're out of the Tampax Super Plus, the one with the applicator." Mr. Patel looks queasy.
"Well, look in the storeroom."
He's backing away.
"There's a spill in aisle two. Mop it up."
"Yes, Mr. Patel."
"Then you can go home."
"But I'm working until three."
"Devyani will cover for you. She can climb the stepladder."
What he means is that she's not pregnant or afraid of heights, and that she'll let him park his bike without going all feminist on his arse. I should sue him for sexual harassment, but I like this job. It gives me an excuse to be in Barnes and nearer to Meg. In the rear storeroom, I fill a bucket with hot soapy water and choose a sponge mop that hasn't worn away to the metal frame. Aisle two is closer to the registers. I get a good view of the cafe and the outside tables. I take my time cleaning the floor, staying clear of Mr. Patel. Meg and her friends are finishing up. Cheeks are kissed, phones are checked, babies are strapped into prams and pushchairs. Meg makes some final remark and laughs, tossing her fair hair. Almost unconsciously, I toss mine. It doesn't work. That's the problem with curls. They don't toss, they bounce. Meg's hairdresser, Jonathan, warned me that I couldn't get away with the same cut that she does, but I wouldn't listen to him. Meg is standing outside.